పురుషస్య ముఖం బ్రహ్మ క్షత్రమేతస్య బావ ఉర్వార్వైశ్యో భగవత పద్భ్యాం శుద్రో వ్యజాయత. పురుషస్య, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mukham, mouth, brahma, is the brahmanas, chatram, the royal order, etasya, of him, bahavaha, the arms, Urvoho, the thighs, Vaishyaha, are the mercantile men, Bhagavataha, of the Personality of Godhead, Padbhyam, from his legs, Sudraha, the laborer class, Vyajayata, became manifested. Translation: the Brahmanas represent his mouth, the Kshatriyas his arms, the Vaishyas his thighs, and the Shudras are born of his legs. Sometimes this is a favorite verse of some people because ISKCON is training people to become Vaishnavas or even above Brahmanas. So the Brahmanas represent the mouth of Vishnu. And therefore, devotees very much like to take prasad because they're representing the mouth of Vishnu. But one has to be careful. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All living beings are stated to be parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. And how they are so is explained in this verse. The four divisions of human society, namely the intelligent class, the Brahmanas, the administrative class, Kshatriyas, the mercantile class, the Vaishyas, and the laborer class, the Shudras, are all in different parts of the body of the Lord. As such, no one is different from the Lord. The mouth of the body and the legs of the body are non-different constitutionally, but the mouth or the head of the body is qualitatively more important than the legs. At the same time, the mouth, the legs, the arms, and the thighs are all component parts of the body. These limbs of the body of the Lord are meant to serve the complete whole. The mouth is meant for speaking and eating. The arms are meant for the protection of the body. The legs are meant for carrying the body. And the waist of the body is meant for maintaining the body. The intelligent class in society, therefore, must speak on behalf of the body, as well as accept foodstuff to satisfy the hunger, of the body. The hunger of the Lord is to accept the fruits of sacrifice. The brahmanas, or the intelligent class, must be very expert in performing such sacrifices, and the subordinate classes must join in such sacrifices. So, I'll break up the purport and discuss different aspects of it. Prabhupada's first point here is that Varnashrama is a constitutional arrangement. Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasa. I have created the system of Varnashrama according to Guna and Karma. So everyone, according to their quality and their work, is naturally situated in a particular varna. There is Brahman varna, Kshatriya varna, Vaishya varna, and Shudra varna. And everything outside of the varnashram system is not potentially capable of taking to spiritual life. They are potentially capable, but they must come to this platform. Varnashrama charvrata purushena para puman Vishnur aradyate pantha nanyatattosha karanam. One can satisfy Vishnu by acting within his particular varna, doing his work according to the varnashram system. There are two types of varnashrama. One is called Daivi varnashrama. Daivi, as you can understand, divine varnashram. In other words, everybody in a Daivi varnashram society follows the four regulative principles. No intoxication, no illicit sex, no meat eating, and no gambling or frivolous activities. In the Asuri Varnashram, which is more commonly accepted in society, one is a Brahmana only by birth. He may be doing all nonsense activities. He may be taking intoxication. He may be having illicit sex. He may even be eating meat, but he'll say, I am a Brahmana. And he'll show you his Yajna Pavitra, which he bought for 2 paisa. And he is a so-called Brahmana, or Kshatriya, or Vaishya, or whatever. This Daivi Varnashram is rejected. The purpose of Varnashram is to please Vishnu, and here the metaphor or the example given is like that of our body. Just like we have our physical body, legs, belly, arms, and head, 4 divisions. So the Varnashram system is likened unto the body of Vishnu, for the purpose of serving Vishnu. Just as our legs do heavy labor, work. Now, without your legs, life can be very difficult. The legs are important. If you go to war and you get your legs blown off, or some industrial accident, and you don't have the use of your legs and you have to go in a wheelchair, if you can afford a wheelchair, it's very awkward. The arms, protection. The legs, like shudra, heavy labor, work. The belly is giving sustenance, the stomach. Now, the stomach, most diseases, you can ask any doctor, allopathic, Ayurvedic, homeopathy, whatever. But any genuine doctor will tell you that most diseases have their origin in poor digestion, weak digestion. If you're not digesting your food, you're not getting energy by which your own natural immune system can deal with diseases. Stomach is important. Arms are important for protection. If you are in a situation where somehow you're being beaten by someone or whatever it may be, but they teach you to coil up like a child in the womb, legs against the chest, and with your arms you protect your head. The arms are used for fighting. Arms are important. They're like under the chatriyas. Chat means hurt, and triya means to protect from hurt. A chatriya must be able to protect himself and protect others, both from gross violence as well as subtle violence. In other words, the kshatriya has to protect dharma. That's another kind of violence where adharma is propagated. In fact, it is so bad that when there is an increase in adharma, Lord Krishna comes. He takes his incarnation. When there is adharmasya, tadatmanam sri jami aham, I come. So, all of them are important, but especially the head is important because the head, the brain, whatever, gives direction to the other parts of the body. What to do, how to do, when to do. So it is qualitatively more important, and therefore we need a Brahmin class in society. We need people who are dedicated to the study of scripture and to following the scripture. The business of brahmanas, you all know, you've heard it many times, patan, patan. To study the scripture and to teach others. Yajan, to perform rituals, worship. Yajan, to engage others, not to monopolize the temple, but to engage others in serving the deity in different ways according to their qualifications. Just like ladies are making the garlands, they're being engaged in service to the deity. Some men are helping to organize festivals, distributing prasadam, food for life, or janmashtami, or whatever. Yajan, yadzan, engaging others. Dana, giving in charity, and pratigraha, accepting charity. So we give knowledge, we give books, we give prasadam. This is meant for re-spiritualization of society in a dark age. Prayanalpayusa sobhya kalo asmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. We have to recognize the fact that this is Kali Yuga. And we are born into bodies which have a nature of bad qualities. We're very weak in our memory. There are books because we're not Shrutidhar. We can't hear something and remember it. We need a book. A book is a sign of a less intelligent civilization, contrary to popular historians' belief. They say that there was no culture before 3,000 years ago because they have no evidence of books. But books are not a sign of an intelligent society in one sense. Books are a sign that you can't remember. We're weak in our memory. We're troubled by bad karma. Every one of you can tell a story. I'm sure I could ask each and every one of you to stand up here today and you could tell some story about how your life was affected by some bad karma. Whatever. We're lazy. We're very lazy in spiritual life. Now I see people don't take the trouble. They're lazy to put on tilak. They're lazy to wear devotional cloth. Ladies, they're too lazy to wear saris anymore. It's all Punjabi. Because a sari is too much trouble. You have to fold the pleats, you have to do this and that. So sacrifice the spiritual for something simple and easy. We want quick and easy. Instant nirvana. No rules, no regulations. Therefore, cheaters and the cheated. We wonder why there are so many cheaters in the marketplace, in the, what do they call it, the Godmen marketplace. Prabhupada said there's a Bhagawan born every minute in India. A very popular business, the guru business. Because people are stupid or foolish. They don't want to take the trouble to read the scripture to understand who is a bona fide teacher, preacher. They accept anything and everything. Whoever will promise to please their senses. This is Kali Yuga, Manda Bhagya. We're very unfortunate. Therefore, the process of yajna, there are many kinds of yajna. Yajna has to be performed to glorify Krishna. But, therefore it is said, yajna artat karma no anyatra loko yam karma bandhana. If you don't perform some sacrifice for serving God, you will perform sacrifice for your family, for the community. You'll do something for the local cricket team or for Daridra Narayan. You'll do some kind of sacrifice, but it will bind you, karma bandhana. You'll be bound up and you'll have to take birth again and go through the same business until you learn yajna vai Vishnu. Sacrifice should be done to please the Supreme Lord. The same metaphor. Feed the stomach, it nourishes all the body. If you try to eat by squeezing food or throwing it on your feet or... No, you put it in the stomach. Then you're nourished. Yajna vai Vishnu, he's the root. Mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. All living beings are my angsa. We are part of Krishna. It is in our self-interest to serve Him. Why do we avoid it? We benefit. He does not need our service. We benefit. We have the right engagement. We have a tendency to enjoy. That is called pravritti, marg. Now one is not encouraged to perform nivritti marg or extreme renunciation. That is neither possible nor appropriate. One can enjoy his senses, pravritti, but dharma virudha, according to religious principles. This is an important point that we must understand. You have to do it. You have to try. You have to understand and change your value system. What are the values? What are your values in life? What is important to you? So now, your value system must be to please Krishna with all I do. Krishna says, all that you do, all that you eat, yad karoshi, yad ashnashi, all that you eat, yad juhosi, sacrifices that you make, the dasi yat, all that you give away, yat tapasyasi, all austerity, tat karusha mad arpanam, this should be done for me. We have to learn this. We can engage in gratification of our senses in a regulated way and we'll get more satisfaction. The Bhagavad Gita talks about satisfaction, how to get real satisfaction. Krishna doesn't tell Arjuna, yes, Arjuna, you go to the forest, you live like a mendicant, you fast. Arjuna, you fight. You act like a kshatriya. You maintain your wife and children. Stane stitha. Stane stitha means you remain in the regulative principle. Stane stitha refers to not only remain in your physical locus standi, your physical place, it means be absorbed in devotional service following the regulative principles. So therefore, in this age, Krishna is so kind. So kind. We are belligerent. And I say we because I mean me and all of you. We are belligerent. Just like a naughty child. Have you ever had the experience a child is being mischievous and no matter what you tell him to do, he'll do the opposite? He's a terror in the house, especially like around 4, 5, 6, 7, that age. They can create terror in a family. And no matter what you do, they're belligerent. They won't do it. So we're mischievous. Krishna's guiding us. He's giving us instructions. So easy. It's easy to understand. And if we were obedient, we would do it. If we're as good devotees as we sometimes think we are, we would surrender. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. This ekam, only me. You just surrender to me alone. Ekiha, Guru Nandana, with fixed vyavasayatmika buddhi, fixed intelligence. You focus on your devotional service. Give the fruits of your work to Krishna's service. Give your energy, give your emotions. Develop a relationship with Krishna. He's the only person in our lives. Everyone else is a friend of a friend of Krishna, a servant of a servant of Krishna. Our first and only friend and master and guru is Krishna. But we won't do it. We won't do it. So Krishna is so kind. He makes it easy for us. He's merciful. He comes as Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda is so merciful. And he's so kind. He comes as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Yajyai Sankirtanai Prayar Yajanti Sumedasa. In Kali Yuga, the Yajya, Yajya Vai Vishnu, the Yajya to please Vishnu or Krishna is Sankirtan Yajya. As much as possible, we should be chanting Krishna's holy names. Sankirtan means congregational chanting. Sankirtan means congregational preaching. Sankirtan means preaching in the colleges and universities. Sankirtan means book publication and book distribution. Somehow or other, distributing Krishna's mercy, that is very pleasing to Krishna. Very pleasing. Priyakritama, those who distribute this knowledge, they're very dear to me. Krishna says. So this is the sacrifice, and sacrifice must be performed. To speak for the Supreme Lord means to glorify the Lord by means of propagating the knowledge of the Lord as it is. Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is, not as this politician thought it should be, or this peace worker thinks it should be. No, as it is, as Arjuna heard it, through parampara, without changing, without contaminating, without adulteration, as it is, transparent via media parampara, simply repeating the truth, broadcasting the factual nature of the Lord and the factual position of all other parts of the whole body. Even if it's popular or unpopular, we will speak the truth. Even if nobody comes to the temple, we'll speak to the four walls. We'll speak to the crows. They'll come. They always come. We'll speak to the cockroaches. Anybody, but we will speak the truth. We won't compromise in our prachar and our achar. We won't compromise because we want Krishna's mercy. The brahmanas, therefore, are required to know the Vedas or the ultimate source of knowledge. Now, Vedeshu Durlabham. It is important to know something about the Vedas, especially in the modern age. Smriti is very influential. There's Shruti and Smriti. Shruti means the original Vedas. Rig Sam Yajuranda Tharva, the Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutra, and various other Vedangas, corollary, Vedas. But Smriti means that which has been extracted from the original Vedas and is pertinent or important for this age, our present time, such as Mahabharata, Ramayana, all of the different Puranas. They're important. And one should try to know them. One should try to understand them with the help of a bona fide spiritual master. You cannot understand anything without a teacher. You need a teacher to learn anything nicely in this world, especially subtle subject matter such as spiritual life. But the quintessential thing is bhakti, devotion. Without bhakti, Vedanta has no value. Therefore it is said, Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. I'm hard to know just by study of the Vedas. Very hard to know. I can't be. The Vedas are so vast, and there's so many of seeming contradictions in the Vedas, and one has to be an expert scholar in Sanskrit, hardly in one lifetime an intelligent person could go through all the Vedas. What to speak of ordinary people? Therefore you find some people propagate this idea that we must know the Vedas. That's all that's important. The deities are not important. Temples are not important. We must know the Vedas. They call themselves Brahmanas. And you have to get knowledge from them. They monopolize. They set themselves up as authorities. It's simply another cheating business. There's nowhere, as Prabhupada used to say, you show me in Sanskrit where it says that if someone doesn't know Sanskrit, they can't enter the kingdom of God. You know, you're on your way back to Godhead, you get to Vaikuntha, and there's a guy there who says, do you know Sanskrit? No, sorry, can't come in. All that's important, ultimately, is that I have love for Krishna. Now, of course, knowledge does help. We don't want sentimentalism. But adurlabham atma bhaktau. Krishna is easy to understand, or easier to approach by his devotee. So that is the ultimate sacrifice. The parts of the body are related to the body. Similarly, the living being must know his relationship with the Lord. The human life is especially meant for this purpose, namely to know the factual relationship of every living being with the Supreme Lord. I was at a KC Law College at a seminar, and there were different presenters there. So a few of them were talking about getting to understand yourself. The topic was stress. And some of the speakers were emphasizing that you have to know yourself, you have to find yourself, then you can be free from stress. Now there was a period for questions, but I didn't want to disrupt the meeting. So I didn't ask the obvious question, what do you mean by self? generally people mean self in relation to the body. I'm a lawyer, but actually I'd be much happier as a doctor. Because in essence, I'm a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. Or, you know, I'm eating eggplant, but actually I like Bindi. The real me likes Bindi. My mother's forcing me to eat shock because it's healthy, but you know, so many mental concoctions of who I am, who the self is. But the fact is that we have nothing to do with the body. The body is our lower self, the animal self, the higher self, the eternal self is the spiritual part of Krishna, the Aṃsa that we were talking about. And that Aṃsa has a relationship with Krishna, Parameshwar, Purushottam. We are also enjoyers when we're connected with Krishna. The intelligent class of men, the Brahmanas, are therefore especially responsible for broadcasting this knowledge of our relationship with the Lord and the leading and leading the general mass of people to the right path. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to lead people to the right path. Everyone has their own individual journey. We're not trying to make people zombies or anything. Everyone has their own relationship with Krishna, their own individual, unique vision of Krishna. But you have to be on the right path. That's all. The right principles. Krishna consciousness is teaching eternal principles of spiritual life. We're not teaching someone to become a Hindu or a Muslim. You can be a Muslim and follow Krishna consciousness. You can be a Muslim. You can be a Gujarati Muslim and follow Krishna consciousness and become a real Muslim. Often people come to me and say, they're very proud, one organization especially, they show me a picture of maybe 15 Adivasis and their husbands, ladies. And they say, these ladies were all Christians before, but we've got them married to good Hindu boys. So now we have converted 15 Christians to become Hindus. They're very proud of this. I say, yes, it's nice that you're converting Christians to become Hindus, but we're converting Hindus to become Hindus. We are training people how actually to become a pure Hindu, a pure Vaishnava, leading the general mass of people. The administrative class is meant for protecting the living beings so that they can serve this purpose. Well, I don't think I need to say anything there. Politics. The mercantile class is meant for producing food grades and distributing them to the complete human society so that the whole production is given a chance to live comfortably and discharge the duties of human life. Very important. Prabhupada always commented again and again. He traveled around the world. He said, there's so many millions of acres of land that are not being used. They're lying fallow. They're lying unused, undeveloped. And there's so much land that's being used to grow tea and coffee and so many useless things. Where's the mercantile class that is growing foodstuffs and producing milk products and feeding everyone? regardless whether they belong to his family or any family. We're all part of the same family. Krishna is our Supreme Father. We may be black, we may be brown, we may be white, we may be yellow, we may be this gender or that gender, but we're all part of the same family. And our Namo Mahavadanyaya, Lord Chaitanya is described as the most munificent incarnation, because he's distributing love of God. But munificence, magnanimity, generosity, this is a natural quality of someone who is becoming a real lover of God. Whether you call him Allah or Jehovah or Yahweh or Buddha. But the real quality that we want to see is munificence. So why is there any starvation in the world? It means that we're living in a godless society. Although people say, the Americans, you ask them, 95% of all Americans will say they believe in God. On any given day, you take a poll. You know, you're doing polls now in India. People come and survey you. Who do you think will win the election? Do you like this product? Why do you like... Getting a survey. Yeah, you survey people in the West. They'll say, yes, we believe in God. But the conditions are getting worse and worse. There's a big difference between what they say they believe and what they actually practice. Why are there suffering people in the world? There's no need for it. And the labor class, who are neither intelligent nor powerful, can help by physical services to the other higher classes and thus be benefited by their cooperation. Therefore, the universe is a complete unit in relationship with the Lord. And without this relationship with the Lord, the whole human society is disturbed and is without any peace and prosperity. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Brahmanosya mukham asid bahu rajanya kritaha. When I first came to India, one of the first places where I stayed was in Calcutta. So at that time I would go preaching, especially in Bada Bazaar, which is like Jhaveri Bazaar here. So in Calcutta it's Bada Bazaar. And all the wealthy, mostly Marwadis in Calcutta, not so many Gujaratis, all the wealthy Marwadis were living there or doing business there. And I saw that a very wealthy man making crores of rupees, he might have been a Birla or a Bangurd or a Podar or a Jalan, big man, but he would live simply. And people were not envious of him because he didn't flaunt. He didn't make a big tamasha, a big show of his wealth. He lived simply. So the Shudras, they should serve the other three divisions. And in a God-conscious society, a spiritual Varnashram society, this envy should be diminished. It will be there, but it's a disease which is being dealt with. It's acknowledged and being dealt with. Envy. You see it even in spiritual organizations. It's there. But we want to keep envy down by glorifying Krishna, who is the only one worthy of glorification, by giving wealth and opulence to Krishna, and accepting ourselves as servants of Krishna and servants of the Tadiyanam, the devotees. One becomes important in a Vaishnav community by how much service he does to the other devotees. If he has a lot of money but he's mukhi chus, who cares for him? He may wear a tilak. He may want to be recognized as a big person, but he's stingy. You know, he takes a fly out of the ghee and squeezes the ghee and throws it. Stingy. Krishna doesn't care for him. And the Vaishnavas don't care for him. Because a Vaishnava knows that everything is going on by the arrangement of God. And everyone is protected. All the devotees will be protected. Some will be poor, some will be less poor. But everyone is protected, and they share. So this envy is not there, and therefore Shudras, they can happily serve the other Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmanas with a hope that they'll advance in spiritual life. That's the wealth. Renunciation from the material world is the wealth of the Brahman class of men. Freedom from attachment, that's wealth. That's happiness. No matter how much facility you get in the material world, you can't avoid old age, disease, and death. You can't avoid adhyatmik klesha, adhibhautik klesha, adhidaivik klesha. You can't avoid miseries, no matter what you have. Therefore, you can never be happier. But if you become detached, actually detached, how do you become detached? You give everything to Krishna. You use everything in Krishna's service. Then you will get happiness. No stress. No suffering. No pain. Then you'll remember Krishna at the time of death and you'll go back to him. So are there any questions or comments? I'm going to ask a question. How many people here today cannot understand my English, my speaking? How many don't understand what I've said in Bhagavatam? Okay, a few back there. Mostly the brahmacharis. Most of you, how many of you understood more or less my English class? Yeah? You understood English? Okay, fine. Thank you. Ladies, how many of you understood? Okay, all right. Kundamadava, did you see that? Okay. We should have Hindi translation, but it should be like the United Nations, where you have a little booth, someone translating, people can put on headphones. Otherwise, the duty of Indians, Bharat Bhumite Hoila Manusa Janma Jar Janma Sarta Karikara Paropakar, is to preach this Vedic Sanskriti to the, especially the those who are outside of Varnashram, the Malechas and Yavanas, etc., in the West. Srila Prabhupada's guru, and we're following in Srila Prabhupada's line, Srila Prabhupada's guru specifically instructed him to preach the message of Mahaprabhu to the English-speaking people of the world. So Juhu is a place where there's so many hotels here, and so many people are coming from all over the world to these hotels. They may be Chinese, they may be French, they may be German, they may be English or American, but one language most of them understand is English. And we should want to bring these people here so they can hear Krishna Katha. Now our 25th anniversary is coming up, our Jubilee celebration, 25 years of Radharas Bihari Temple. One of Srila Prabhupada's expressed desires was that at least 50% of the ashramites here should be foreigners. Not Americans or Canadians, just foreigners. They could be Chinese also, or even Persians, whatever. He wanted 50%. How many do we have? I look out in the audience today and I see only myself. And Adbhutahari and Kavi Karnapur. I don't know if this is a success or a failure after 25 years. But I think all of you as the congregation of the temple should work towards bringing your English-speaking friends to the temple. Because I know that all of you are Krishna conscious. I'm confident that all of you, sooner or later, there's no way you can avoid going back to Godhead, even if you try. This lifetime, or very soon you're going back to Godhead. But where is our Vaishnav compassion? Paradukha-dukhi. For myself, I don't feel any suffering. I'm happy. I chant Hare Krishna. When I'm hungry, there's prasad. I'm a Vaishnav Brahmana, and I represent the mouth of Krishna. Good philosophy. But what about others? The suffering of others in this world. This should be our mood. We should cry. Prabhupada cried when he saw how people are suffering in the world due to lack of Krishna or God consciousness. There's no overpopulation in the kingdom of God. There's no shortage in the kingdom of God. There's no need for any suffering in the world, or at least very minimum. It's our duty to do something about it. Now maybe, I think you should, Prabhupada said, I have created ISKCON. He said, I have created ISKCON so that our Indian life members and congregation can travel around the world and preach Bhagavad Gita. But maybe you're not prepared yet. You're 98 years old and you want to wait a few more years until you're fully ready. But even if you're not going to do that much, which I wish you would, at least here in your home, Bombay is an international city. I remember seeing years and years ago, so funny, there was Calcutta got its subway, underground train subway, and they were so proud of it, although it only went like for about half an hour, like maybe 20 stops or something. But they were really proud of it. It went from Chowrangi to, you know, some other place. But they had a huge billboard. Actually, at every stop they had them. You know, Subway Cities of the World. New York, Los Angeles, London, Tokyo, Calcutta.
So, but Bombay is actually an international city, much more than Calcutta. And foreigners do come here. So my humble prayer to all of you is to be receptive to English-speaking people and help them to understand this culture. Even the basic things, how to eat, how to sleep, how to evacuate, what to speak of, spiritual philosophy, they don't know. We have to teach. Hare Krishna.